morning. And, you know, like every one of you, we have trials that come. We have burdens that kind of come on us. And, you know, I don't know if partially my deal is I hate winter. And when it starts to get cold and dark and so early, I kind of get in a funk. But on top of that, I've had other things going on, some physical, sometimes financial, sometimes spiritual, sometimes whatever, that's just been weighing on me, you know, lots of different things. And when you start having one after the other, you know, it starts to get a little bit exhausting after a little while, right. You know. And then, like I was talking to Rich for a minute this morning, he said, you know, you kind of get stuff piling up on top of you, and then you get that last one that kind of is the straw that breaks the camel's back, if you want to call it that. And that's kind of where I was this week. And I hate to admit that it was of my own doing. And that makes it even worse, you know. So I'm going to tell you this story, and just bear with me. So last Saturday night, me and Joey and the kids, we went to watch a couple basketball games, okay? Mm-hmm. We knew some kids playing in a freshman game. We ended up knowing a kid that was on both teams. We knew a kid who was going to play in the JV game. And then we knew a kid, a good friend of ours, his son was going to play in the varsity game. So we stayed for all three of these basketball games. And the one friend that I know, the dad, I call him a friend of mine. I don't see him a whole lot. I text him quite often just to see how his kids are doing and that. And I don't know, I'm sure probably all of you have this kind of a friend. When you're around, do you have a friend that when you're around them, you have to be extremely careful that you bring out the best in them and it's not that they bring out the worst in you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
And I'm not blaming this on anyone else. I'm just saying I have a friend and I have to be extremely cautious when I'm with him that I try to bring the best out in him. And that's not saying that's me. It's just God lets me know, hey, you know, bring the best out in him. Don't let him bring the worst out in you.
Right.
So I'm watching this basketball game, and we get to the varsity game, finally. And like I said, a friend of ours, a good friend of ours, is playing in this game. And there's also a kid on the opposing team who I've known a little bit since he was little. Played baseball with Jack when they were little, a little bit. Mm-hmm. Jack played basketball against him. And I'm just going to be really honest with you. I never liked this kid very much. And I'm just being honest, okay? And so we're sitting there, and the kid, I'll explain it like this. The kid plays basketball, or he plays baseball, or he plays football, or whatever he's playing, with high energy and emotion, which can be a really good thing, and it can also be a really bad thing.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And if he's on your side, you generally love him. And if he's not on your side, the opposing team probably doesn't like him a whole lot. Okay? So, anyway, I'm watching this basketball game. And I see him out there, and he's kind of being himself in warm-ups, and it's like, So it kind of starts churning in me that, you know, I'm just getting critical. Just watching him warm it up, you know? And somebody said something about him up there, and one of my comments was, I knew him when he was a little kid, and I always thought he was a chump. Mm-hmm. And where that's coming from is when things were going good, he wasn't graceful when it was good. When things were going bad, he definitely wasn't graceful when it was going bad. So do you get an idea of what I'm talking about here? He's kind of, okay. I'm not going to say that, but yes, I heard what you said. So that was one comment I said, you know, I didn't cuss the kid. I didn't run him down completely. I didn't, you know, heckle him. It's just I didn't have anything good to say about this kid during this game. You know what I mean? And there were some other things said by some other people up there that weren't the nicest thing in the world. And his dad was sitting about three rows down to the right. And I know his dad from seeing him. I've never spoken to him, even though Jack and him played ball on a team together one time for a little while. I didn't really know the guy. So anyway, and then Joey actually worked with the kid's grandmother. And she was sitting a row or two right down from us on our right, right? And there was another older couple sitting behind them. And so it's kind of like I'm thinking, it might be his grandparents over here. You know, all of his grandparents. So anyway, here's kind of how the game went. His team is a bigger school than the other kids' team that we knew. They were up by 10 points in the second half. This kid gets a technical, right? The other team gets a shot, makes the free throw, gets the ball back, makes a three-pointer. A 10-point lead just became a 4-point lead. After getting the technical, the coach takes him out of the game, sets him on the bench. He's 6'5", takes him out, sets him on the bench. They lose by 2 points. So he cost his team 4 points. He cost his team his play. Then at the end of the game, they brought him in to make the inbounds pass to try to tie the game up. And he's 6'5", and he used to be a quarterback and a pitcher and a shortstop and all that. So he's an athletic kid. And he made a bad pass to the other team that ended the game. You know, and the other comment that I remembered saying was, before the play even happened, you know, I said, well, he's tall enough, he's got a strong enough arm to make this pass, but I don't know if I want him making that decision of who to throw it to. Which, it's not like, I'm not trying to be dramatic that I said some sort of terribly horrible things about this kid. It's just I was being negative about everything about the kid. You know, I just was. And he threw it away. His team lost. After the game, we went down the floor and we're waiting for our friends from the opposing team, who were the visiting team, to come down. And as I'm standing there, I see this kid's dad standing on the other side of the gym, and he's looking at me. And I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it Saturday night. I mean, I was talking to some people, and I looked over, and he felt like he was looking at me. Okay. So I'm talking, you know, and it's just like every time I looked in his direction, he was looking at me. And it didn't really strike me, you know, whatever I went about our night. Came to church last Sunday. I got in the car Monday morning to go to work. And guess what? It was time for God to start dealing with me. Mm-hmm. And the thing he asked me in the car was, what in the world were you doing being so critical of that kid? Am I like that with you?
That's right.
And I said, no, you're not. I had no right to be that critical about a kid playing a game that he loves the way he plays it. And in the end, it's a game and it don't matter. And so I get to work and I'm feeling like I feel when God deals with you like that, which is your stomach starts to churn. You can't get comfortable. It's hard to concentrate. And then God says, you know what? I want you to call his dad and I want you to apologize to him. And I thought, oh, that'll be fun. So I text this other guy that his kid goes to the same school and I said, hey, do you know so-and-so's phone number by chance? He says, no, I don't know him. He said, but I can probably find it for you. That was on Monday. So I'm standing around, and all day long, I'm thinking about all this stuff, right? And I'm starting to put together this picture of this mess that I've gotten myself into. And it's like, where is this going to go, Lord? You know, number one, you know, I'm going to call this guy and say, hey, I was being really critical of your kid, and I'm sorry, and I said a couple of dumb things. What's his reaction going to be to that? You know what some people's reaction would be? Oh, yeah? Well, I'm going to punch you in the nose. And that would be some people's reaction. And I'm not saying that reaction's wrong. I don't know. I'm thinking to myself, is the reaction going to be, oh, okay, well, who else was up there talking about him? Then am I going to have to name someone else's name? Where's that going to go? You know, nowadays they have like parental code of ethics, things people have to sign when you play sports. And if there starts to be issues, they'll kick a kid off a team because they don't want to hear the garbage, you know. And it's like, you know, I'm not wanting to cause this friend of mine's kid trouble, who's a freshman, loves to play basketball, because I feel like God told me to call and apologize to somebody, and now am I going to drag his dad into it? His dad's not going to apologize. Let me just tell you. So I start having all these, how's this going to play out? Oh my gosh, what kind of a mess have I started here? You know? And it was exhausting. I barely could eat anything for 3 days. I just felt sick. I woke up about every couple of hours. I was trying to think of what I was going to say to this guy. And I wasn't going to lie to the guy. But I was dreading owning up to what I had to own up to. So I came to elders meeting Tuesday night. And I asked for prayer because I was beat up mentally and physically when I got here. And they prayed for me. And so I went home Tuesday night, and I'm laying in bed, and I'm trying to go to sleep, and my phone makes the message that it makes when I get a text message. And it's my friend with the phone number that I asked him for, which I've wanted so that I could call and get this over with. But now I've got it, and I've got to call and get this over with. So Tuesday night, I didn't sleep at all. I just kept going over all of what this mess could be. Between that and singing the song, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. So I would try to sing that song, and then I would go right back to, what is this mess I've created? So I didn't sleep Tuesday night. And I went to work Wednesday morning. And I had a phone number. And I sent the guy a text message. And I said, hey, is there a time I could give you this? My name is Mark. Can I give you a time? Do you have a time I could call you and I can talk to you for a couple minutes? And he sends me back a text and says, yeah, I'm going to lunch at 12. Can I call you then? I said, sure. So now I'm waiting till 12 o'clock, right, to face this mess that I've created here, kind of. So I go outside at lunch, and the guy calls me. And I said, hi, we don't know each other. I said, this is my name. I said, Jackson and your son played on an all-star team together. And yeah, I remember that. And he's asking me, you know, how Jack was doing or whatever. And I said, I hate to call you for this reason. I said, but I have to call you for this reason. And I said, my faith is the most important part of who I am. And I said, I tried to live a godly life. And I said, God let me know that Saturday night I failed miserably at that. And I said, as I watched that game, I said, I was so critical of everything that your son was doing. And I said, mostly it was just in my mind, but I said a few things that I shouldn't have said I said I didn't have anything good about anything to say about anything he did. And I said I had no right to be that way. I was being a jerk. And I said, I owe you and I owe him an apology. And I said, I'm sorry. I said, God, let me know. I said, I hope I don't sound crazy. I said, but I said, God, let me know he expects more from me than that. Mm-hmm. And he says, so I'm dreading, you know, what this is going to turn into, because it could go all different directions, you know? And he says, well, can I tell you something? I said, sure. He says, there's not nothing you said or thought up there that I wasn't saying or thinking sitting right down where I was sitting. He said, he's had a horrible year. And he said, his mother and I talk to him all the time about how he carries himself and how he plays. And he said, you don't need to worry about it. There was that weight of this mess just got lifted off my shoulders. And then he proceeds to tell me that him, his wife, two of his coaches, and another adult that he respects had told him Tuesday night how he needed to stop being a jerk, play as a teammate, all these things that kind of formed my opinion. And this is not saying that I was right to, you know what I'm saying, but you see what you see, but you have to be smart about what you do with it. Does that make any sense? We have to have eyes to see what's in front of us. But we need to give it to God, or we need to pray about it and see what he wants to do about it. He says, anyway, two of his coaches, his wife, his mom, two of his coaches, and another adult he respects told him he needed to change the way he was. And he said he had 18 points last night, no fouls. He said there was a different kid playing out there last night. And he said it was great to see. And you know, so he was very gracious. And he basically said, hey, if you get a chance, come out and watch the new Zach play sometime. He said, hopefully he'll continue it. And, you know, I trusted that God was going to do what he was going to do. Now, it doesn't always end with a gracious, don't worry about it. I was saying all the same stuff answer. But I thank God that it did. And the real lesson in the whole thing is to not get yourself in that situation to start with. And then God immediately kind of was talking to me about, he reminded me of the scripture, you know, about your tongue and learning to bridle your tongue. And he kind of said something to me, you know, about we have these thoughts in our spirit, in our heart, we know better. It needs to interrupt that thought before it gets to that mouth.
Amen.
Because sometimes it comes out that mouth before we've really thought about or paused to think about what we're about to say. Now, Wednesday morning, when I got to work, I looked at my scripture of the day on the Bible app, and that's the day that I talked to this kid's dad. And this is what the scripture of the day said. It says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon.
Amen.
Isaiah 55, 6, and 7. Mm-hmm. Essentially, what did God do for me with this guy? He pardoned me by the guy not wanting to punch me in the mouth or start a bunch of trouble over something stupid that I said or the way I was acting. And I just want to thank God for being there. I want to thank him for the prayers that the elders gave to me, that Joey was praying for me. For any of you who pray for me on a whenever basis you do, I appreciate it. But I just want to thank God for what he did, because I could have started a real mess that I would have had a hard time living with for a long time if it would have caused some other kids to miss out on what they love to do because of something I said. So that's all.
That's good.
Yeah.
Wonderful testimony. I can assure you that every one of us have experienced that.
Hold on just a minute, Rich. Is that on? Are you taping? Come up here. Come up here so that it goes on the tape here. So, because they won't be able to hear you.
Okay.
You know.
All right. Love you, man.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, we've all experienced that. But what is so awesome is this is a man of God who obeys the Lord. And you're people of God that obey the Lord. You know, he could have procrastinated, right? He did it a little bit, but we all do. But he could have just totally put that out of his mind. And what we were talking about in Sunday school is this is for us when we do this. It's not necessarily for that other person. It's great that, like he said, that this other person gave Mark grace, but it's for Mark. And he even said the weight was lifted off. There's a weight. That's why we cast our cares on him. But the reason I came up here, other than tell Mark, you know, it was a great testimony, is we prayed for Mark on Tuesday, but he didn't tell us what to pray for, did you?
No.
He just said, I need prayer. And Oscar said, you know, would you like to share what about? And he said, no. So we prayed for him. And the next morning, the Lord gave me the title of the radio program for that day, and this was the day you called him, right?
Wednesday.
And that was, let your mess become your message. Okay? Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what, God is good, folks, I'm telling you. He's amazing. I mean, seriously, he opens doors you cannot see, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Jesus is that door. Okay, and he says, if you will come to the door and knock, I'm going to come and sup with you. Supping is supper. That's the most important meal where people get together around the table, and it's also the third meal of the day, and we are in the third day. So it just was interesting when he was telling me all this. I was thinking, let your mess become your message. And that's exactly what you did. And everybody benefited from it, I assure you.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.